The reading is from Acts chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They answered, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." So Paul asked, "Then what baptism did you receive?" "John's baptism," they replied. Paul said, "John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. Paul entered the synagogue and spoke boldly there for 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. But some of them became obstinate. They refused to believe and publicly maligned the way. So Paul left them. He took the disciples with him and had discussions daily in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. This went on for 2 years, so that all the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Would you pray with me as we begin? Lord, thank you that you're a God that who loves us. Thank you that your presence is here with us, and thank you that you want to speak to each one of us this morning. Lord, I pray that you will open our hearts and minds to hear what you have to say to us this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Morning. My name is Amy. If I've not met you yet, please come and say hello after the service. I'm the brand new curate here. I've been here for 1 week. So there's a lot of you that I probably haven't met, but I'm so pleased to be able to speak today and share with you what I think God wants for this church here. And I'm going to be speaking to you this morning about why we pray, "Come, Holy Spirit." So the Holy Spirit, there's a lot of different thoughts, reactions, feelings around the Holy Spirit. A lot of them quite negative. There can be fear around the Holy Spirit. There can be resistance, misunderstanding. People who won't acknowledge that the Holy Spirit is at work today. Or just forgotten about. Instead of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you sometimes encounter the Father, the Son, and a lukewarm cup of tea, or Father, Son, and smoke machines. But I'm here to dispel some of those myths today and share what the Holy Spirit is about. So I'd love you to hear the kind of next 20, 25 minutes, I'd love you to hear that with the lens of the Holy Spirit is nothing to be afraid of. You do not need to fear. The Holy Spirit is God. God is love. God wants good things for all of us. There is no need to fear. We good? No fear. Excellent. So I'd love to start with a quick rundown of that reading we heard from Acts. It's Acts 19, if you want to follow along in your Bibles. I'm afraid I don't know what page that is. But if you can't find it, ask the person next to you to help you. So we start Acts 19, verse 1. We've got the Apostle Paul. He's just arrived in Ephesus, and he's just found what he thinks is a group of disciples. And he gets straight to the point with them. He says to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And then a quick conversation with them quickly reveals that they didn't receive the Holy Spirit, that they're not quite sure what the Holy Spirit even is. And to be honest, they probably aren't really following Jesus. So these disciples, it goes on kind of verse 4, verse 5, they have this conversation where the disciples reveal that they're disciples of John the Baptist. They've been baptized by John the Baptist, this baptism of repentance. But John the Baptist told everyone that he was baptizing, "I will baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come. He," that's Jesus, "he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." So these disciples of John the Baptist knew they were looking out for something, but they just weren't quite sure about it. So they'd had this baptism of repentance, but they'd not had the next bit. It's like the strawberries without the cream, or it's like the cake without the icing. Yeah, it's all right, but you're not getting the whole shebang. You're not getting the full deal. Are you ever the last one in a group of family, group of friends, to hear the news? You know, maybe people have got engaged and it feels like everyone else around you has known for months and months. And suddenly it gets to you and you're like, oh yes, I'm in, I've heard about this, I can celebrate with everyone else. I imagine that that's how these disciples reacted. Suddenly Paul was telling them about Jesus, the person they've been waiting for. Everyone around them was following Jesus, and suddenly the penny drops for them. They know that Jesus is who they've been waiting for. So Paul explains to them that John's baptism isn't enough, that Jesus brings more. He wants more for them. He wants the Holy Spirit for them. And then in verse 5, we have a response from these disciples. They were baptized in the name of Jesus. And then Paul lays hands on them and he prays for them to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then these disciples, it says it's a group of 12 of them. They experience this mini Pentecost. And we know about Pentecost from the beginning of the book of Acts. And the disciples are filled with the Holy Spirit. They prophesy and they start speaking and praying in tongues and other languages. They're filled with the Holy Spirit. So there's our background. So with that in mind, I want to kind of go through a few points and think about what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit, or what even is the Holy Spirit. Let's start there. We'll start with who is the Holy Spirit. Well, I think first and foremost, we need to remember the Holy Spirit is God. It says right at the beginning, God is love. The Holy Spirit is God, one person of the Trinity. We believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all are fully God, fully united. And then in the beginning, right back in the beginning of the book of Genesis, we know that the Spirit was hovering over the water, bringing order out of chaos in creation. We know that the Holy Spirit is life-giving. God breathes his Spirit into humankind when he's created us to give us life. And in John 14, Jesus says that he'll send someone to help his disciples. And the Greek word there is parakletos. And it means comforter, helper, advocate. The Holy Spirit is someone who fights for us, who gets alongside us, who gives us what we need, gives us strength, someone who looks after us. And that's a promise that we have from Scripture. And the Holy Spirit is a gift that God pours out for all of us. It's not just for a select elite few, but it's given for everyone. The Holy Spirit is on offer for everyone here this morning. We can read about in the Bible disciples who were astonished that the Holy Spirit was poured out on people who weren't Jews. And they couldn't believe that the Holy Spirit was being given to everyone who asked. So the Holy Spirit is given to all of us to dwell within us, to be that one who comes alongside us. So who is the Holy Spirit then? I think the Holy Spirit is God in us. The next thing I'd love to work through with you is what does the Holy Spirit do? This one's a bit complicated and we don't quite understand all of this. I'm not claiming to be an expert by any stretch. But the Holy Spirit brings us closer to God, brings us into an encounter with God. It's a way to know God deeper and to experience God more. And the Holy Spirit brings gifts. The Holy Spirit brings gifts to different people for different purposes. There's a passage in 1 Corinthians 12 that I'd love to read to you about the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All of these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. all of those gifts that come from the Holy Spirit to be distributed among God's people as God sees fit. And faith is a gift as well. No one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is powerful. The Holy Spirit can empower us. Jesus, before he ascended into heaven, he said to his disciples, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." But as we know from the great Spider-Man, with great power comes great responsibility. And Jesus kind of finishes that sentence, "You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses." It's not just being empowered for the sake of having some power and some flashy miracles that you can do. It's power so that we can share the gospel, power so that Jesus can be glorified through the Holy Spirit. And I'd urge you to pursue not just the power that comes with the Holy Spirit, but the relationship with the Holy Spirit. If I married Matt for his money, he's going to be a vicar, so wishful thinking. But say I married him for his money, I would be seeing what I could get out of that relationship, how much I could gain from it, take, take, take. There'd be no friendship there, no relationship there. And it's like that if we don't pursue a relationship with the Holy Spirit first. It's all about what we can get out of it. We need to pursue the relationship, and anything else that comes with that is a bonus and is God-given for his glory. The Holy Spirit isn't for us to demonstrate our power, but those gifts are to edify and to build up the whole church so that we can witness, so that we can serve each other, so that we can share the gospel, and so that we can bring glory to God. So what does the Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit is God working within us. And finally, the big question of this morning, why pray, "Come, Holy Spirit"? What on earth is the point in that prayer? We know that God is always with us. That's promised in the Bible. So when we pray, "Come, Holy Spirit," we're asking God for an increase of his presence with us. Romans chapter 5, verse 5 says that God pours his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And as we have more of God's love in us, we're living life more and more to the full, which is what Jesus came to do, so that we could live life in all its fullness. We can't do that apart of the Holy Spirit. What we're also doing when we pray, "Come, Holy Spirit," is we're inviting God to have his way in us. We're inviting God to have his way in the world. We're opening ourselves up for change, for transformation, for renewal. We're asking God to make us more like Jesus. And that's quite a big ask. That's quite a serious prayer to pray. I wouldn't pray that prayer lightly. It's important. The Holy Spirit doesn't just give us nice, warm, fluffy feelings and make us feel a bit smiley. If we're seriously praying, "Come, Holy Spirit," we're saying, "God, have your way in me. Change me, transform me." And that's tricky. That's really, really tough. And if you're filled with the Spirit, then we're urged to live life by the Spirit, to keep in step with the Spirit, to be tethered to the Spirit in everything that we do. And when we have the Holy Spirit working within us and we allow ourselves and open ourselves up to be changed, that's when we start to see fruit of the Spirit. And Galatians 5 tells us what the fruit of the Spirit is: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, I think. You can go and count it up later. And we need to keep praying, "Come, Holy Spirit." We pray this every day. Daily renewal, daily transformation. We're like leaky buckets with a hole in it. We need to come back to God and just be topped up so that we can go out filled with the Holy Spirit. There is no point in us being filled with the Holy Spirit if we're not then compelled to go out and live radically transformed lives every single day following Jesus. So why pray, come Holy Spirit? So that we can ask God to work in us and change us. When we baptize someone, we pray that they'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. And later on, we're going to celebrate as we baptize Alma. She's asleep at the moment. And Trev will pray later, listen out for it. We'll be reminded that through the waters of baptism, we're reborn through the Holy Spirit. Jesus was baptized in water, and Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit. He said, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of heaven unless he is born of water and of the Spirit." We have that cleansing that's symbolized by the water, but we're also transformed and renewed by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And we'll be praying in baptism that Alma will be filled and transformed and renewed by the Holy Spirit every day of her life. Baptism is a sign of God at work in her and a moment where we ask God to work in her. And we'll continue to pray that daily. If you haven't been baptized, today will be a great day to start thinking about it. Talk to myself or Trev after the service. And when it comes to baptism and the Holy Spirit, we see in the Bible that thankfully there aren't many rules around it. There's examples of where the Holy Spirit comes on people before they're baptized, where people are baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit at the same time, and where they're baptized and then filled with the Holy Spirit afterwards. Whatever stage you're at there, if you've been baptized, if you haven't, if you're being baptized today, you can be prayed for to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Thankfully, how the Holy Spirit works doesn't seem to be up to us. God will do what God wants in us. I'd like to ask the band just to come up. So like the disciples in the reading, they were waiting. They were unsure that Jesus had come. They were unsure what the Holy Spirit was. Perhaps that's you sitting there today. And if that is you sitting there today, I just want to share with you that Jesus has come. Jesus was born for you. He was crucified for you. He died and rose again and ascended and wants that relationship with you today and wants to fill you with his Holy Spirit. I'm going to ask you some questions. You don't have to ask them out loud. Ask God to search you and see what he says to you. Are you someone who's already been filled with the Holy Spirit, but you want to be filled again? You're desperate for more, for that topping up. Are you someone who wants to be filled with the Holy Spirit for the first time today? You felt something inside you. You felt God speak to you, just nudge you. Or perhaps you're still unsure and you're not sure who this Holy Spirit is. And if you felt that spark and you want to respond, can I urge you, as it says in 1 Thessalonians, do not quench the Spirit. If you've ever tried to light a fire, I tried once and it took ages and all I could manage was a little spark. But imagine if it started raining on that fire as soon as you managed to light it. Don't do that if you're feeling the stirrings of the Holy Spirit within you. Grab that. Do something about it. Maybe you're worried that the Holy Spirit doesn't care for you. The Holy Spirit isn't going to work in you. There's a prophecy, there's a promise in the Bible where God says, "I will pour out my Spirit on all people." All people. That's not just the band. That's not just the welcomers. Not just the person sitting next to you or the person in front of you. That is you. God wants to pour his Spirit out on you this morning. So in a second, I'm going to pray for us. And I'm going to pray, come Holy Spirit. And please think about how you might want to respond. You might want to stay sitting. You might want to stand. You might want to kneel. You might want to put your hands out to show God that you're open to receiving him. You might want to sing along with the music. You might just want to sit and listen. Another way to respond, in the reading we heard that Paul prayed for those disciples. He laid hands on them and prayed for them. And we've got a prayer ministry team here who would love to pray for you this morning, that you'd be filled with the Holy Spirit. So if in a second you move to the front, be bold. Be really bold. It's brave, but take that step forward and show God that you're stepping into this new journey with him, that you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and there'll be people out here who will pray for you. The Holy Spirit is experienced in different ways by different people. We're all different. God knows us intimately and perfectly. He knows that we're different, and he knows what he's doing. So just trust the Holy Spirit as he works this morning. And can I urge you to just not worry about this? Jesus said, if you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? You just need to ask him. And however you choose to respond this morning, do something to mark this moment. I don't care what it is. Don't go out of here without being prayed for. Do something that says, God, this morning I want your Holy Spirit in my life, and my life is going to be transformed because of it. Mark the moment this morning. Let's pray. If you want to stand, stand. If you want to sit, sit. Whatever you're comfortable with. Loving God, thank you that you promise to send your Holy Spirit on everyone who asks. God, we pray that this morning you would fill everyone in this place with your Holy Spirit. God, we pray that you'll give boldness to those people who have felt the stirring of something of you this morning. And God, give them the courage to respond to you. Jesus, before he ascended into heaven, told his disciples to wait on the Holy Spirit. So we're just going to wait this morning as we pray, come, Holy Spirit, would you fall in this place this morning?